The Greeks believed that the universe had a rational and a moral order to it, and in this order of nature they called the Logos. And for the Greeks, the meaning of life was to contemplate and discern this order in the world, and they defined a well-lived life as one that conformed to it. So they were talking, this is the Greeks, Greek philosophers, and they said there's this order of life and everything must make sense in this order. And they were always thinking and busy with this and with their thought processes and very intellectual. And they called that order of nature, they called it Logos. And then in John, it's the next slide. In John 1, we know the word, the in beginning was the word, the Logos, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And when John, when they wrote this, and he said, in the beginning was the word, the Logos, he really penetrated, he put something in the thought processes of these guys, saying that Jesus is now that order of life. And they were baffled by it. It's already this word order and the words he used in that. It has really struck all the philosophers of the time. And they said, what is going on here? Who is this man? Who is this Jesus? Who is the Son of God? I don't know if you guys make promises to God. I remember when one of my exams, where I went to the lecturer and I said, I prayed and I said to God, man, if I can just pass this exam, then I'll have Bible study every morning for the rest of my life. I didn't pass that one. I had to get a rewrite. But I made all these promises. And the only problem with those things are that God keeps his side of the promise. And we forget. And sometimes we say all the kind of stuff and we say it out there and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to be. And then life goes on, things get better, and we forget. And God keeps his side of the promise. Now in Hebrews 3, I think verse 6, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He keeps his promises. He keeps it. And I want us to continue. We've spoken a bit about encounters that Jesus had with people. I'm just going to continue with those along those lines, but also with regards to some big questions. Because all of us, we go through life and we have questions. We have big questions that we bring to God, or that we just bring to our friends or to whoever, or that you just keep it in with the way you meet your. Having coffee with someone, and every now and then you just pop out this massive question, these big questions. And if we look at Amazon.com, the best sellers these days in the Kindle store, for a religious book, one of the best sellers is You Are Here. Before I get to that list, that is the self-help list. You Are Here, as if nobody knows where they are. So there's a whole book, it's a bestseller, You Are Here. Wherever you're reading it, that's where you are. And on this journey of life, we have a lot of questions. If we go to the self-help section, these are the best sellers right now. Productivity, Serve No Master, Steal Like an Artist. The Happiness of Pursuit, Always Know What to Say, Grow Up, Confidence, Growing the Good Life. These are the best sellers. The Art of War. Might be interesting. But we all want our lives to count. We all want to know it matters. We all want to know what I'm doing is actually, this is fitting in, this is the right space for me. I'm on the right track. I remember in high school, one of the years there, I started teaching myself how to write with my left hand. And I went through all that, those patterns and everything. And my friends would ask me, why are you doing it? So now I'm just sense I'm going to need this skill. So I'll just continue with this. And went through every time in class when I have free time, I teach myself how to write with my left hand. So the year went on. And it was this day, just before our rugby tour to George, to Otaniqua, quite a good school, strong sport, the train tour. And just in that week, the teacher said, Yaku, I'm going to drop you from the first rugby team to the third team. Because I couldn't attend all the practices due to other things that I was busy with. And I said, man, that is bad. Not even the second team. He said, no, but he doesn't want to interrupt the combinations. So we went straight through. And another friend of mine, we went straight through to the third team. And we said, guys, we're going to play an amazing game on Saturday. And we psyched everyone up, and it was an amazing game. That day, we lost a lot of games that day in George. But our game, the third team, we won. We were ahead 5-0. The ball was rolling there. I still remember it, and I put my hand out. I realized that there's a guy who's going to kick it through. And we're in a move, there's no one at the back. So I just put my hand out, and he kicked me on my thumb, and he broke my thumb. But I read this book about this guy that he got injured, and then he played on, and he was a hero. So I thought, maybe this is today. Because I look at my thumb, and everything was just, it was bad. It was a big ball standing there. And I was fly off, and I had to call all the moves. And I think about, ach man, that book, I can't go off. I can't drop my team. So we just played on. I remember every time I catch the ball, it was like, and you pass, and then they drop the ball, and ugh. But eventually we won the game. So that was great. I still remember I used to lift up the ball to take the tackle, and one of these guys, he tackled me. I struggled to breathe after it, somewhere in my ribs. But anyway, got back to Goodwood, yeah. Back to high school. So now my thumb is broken. So luckily I started writing with my left hand at the beginning of the year. So I was all prepared. And I went to the teachers that I've got this new skill. And they said, okay, I can write my exams no time. So I can sit there. I remember I think I wrote 7 hours on my maths paper. But it was just really difficult to make all those thingies. But I was there in the class. I said, just hang on, I'm almost there. But that it started out well, and I got home the one day, and now I couldn't do a lot of things. My rugby career is over, and my academics, I'm starting to struggle because I wrote a lot. My learning style and all of that. And one day I came home and I just told my dad, I just said, who cares? Who cares? Who cares about life? Who cares what's going on? And what's the use? What is the use of me struggling and going through all these battles? And what's the use? And I walked through and he just said, Yaku, you're not allowed to say things like that. Go to your room. I said, who cares? And that's how I stomped through the house, and that was the start of a really a bad patch. It started with my hand that got broken that day, and other things that it just interrupted quite a bit of my life. And I realized that sometimes we are caught in patches like that. Sometimes we go around with those questions. Big questions that we are asking. What is life all about? What's my life purpose? How is it all going to come together? I want to read for us just a short piece out of Ecclesiastes. You know, Solomon, he wrote a couple of books. He was a wise man. But he didn't do what we do these days. These days when you write a book, you want to put in some pointers and some hooks that people, when they read the first chapter, they will at least want to read the rest. I know in the Kindle store, you can download all the samples. So they give you all the first chapters. If you didn't know that, it's quite nice. You can see a lot of stuff in the first chapter. But often you want to read more, so after a while you buy the book. So if we go to Ecclesiastes and you look how he's starting his book, what he's writing, so the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. That's how he started. If you didn't feel bad before that, then you might feel worse. And say, what do people gain from all their labors, all which they toil under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun sets, hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south, turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever turning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. And he just continues in verse 10. He said, is anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered. And it is, and it's as if he's also highlighting some of these questions, some of the big questions. What is the meaning of all of this? And it's like nothing new. He said, this is, what's the meaning of this and this and this? It's all these things that's happening. It's all this stuff going on. It's meaningless, meaningless. And maybe some of us, we are in that place. We just say, meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. I'm tired. I'm fighting these battles. I'm going on. Some, it might be that you're on those big wheels. You know those big wheel in the waterfront? It's quite nice. You go up, you see the view. Everything is amazing. You come down, you go up. Everything is amazing. But what if you're up there and you look down and the operator is not there anymore? He went for a coffee break. So now you just go round and round and round and round. So it started out all amazing. It started out, wow, this is great. Some great things happening. And now it's just the same old, same old, same old. And it's growing and going and going. And I realized that all of us, we want to make a difference. We want our lives to count. They say if they interview, well, in America, 94% of the young adults, they say they want a job where they will feel valued and where it will feel that they are making a difference, more than just something where they can make a lot of money. Now, I remember just growing up, you ask people, what do you want to be one day? It was a doctor, an engineer, or fireman, or a nurse, I think. And asking Gustav and Samuel, one wants to be a policeman. I won't mention names, but he would like to correct everyone and telling them what to do. And he thinks that will be amazing. It's about the doing. And the other one just want to invent stuff. Inventor. So it all starts in a good way. And it's a lot about what we want to do. But as we go on with life, our life is full of stuff that it's not more the doing, it's also the being. It's actually what is happening now. And I think it's a good place to sometimes just to stand still and just to reflect on this. This is what's happening. This is the being. This is what's defining me at the moment. And this is what is going on in my life. And we need to ask the questions and just talk to people and start asking these questions instead of just thinking about it. And I actually want to invite you guys to also, maybe this is not the only question, maybe there are other questions. Bring those big questions. Bring it to small group or let me know and let us discuss these things. Let us talk about it. Let us reason about it. Let us work it out. Because sometimes what we'll do, we just want to wait. So something must change. So I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to sit and see how it's going to happen. And then after a while, we're still there. Same place. I said, I'm just going to check what's going to happen. And then we start saying that if God opens one door or he closes one door, he will open the other door. But nobody tells you how long is the passage. What happens in between those doors? Because sometimes there's a difficult journey there. There's something that happens in between from one door that's closed before there's another door that open. And in between, there's still a journey. There's still things that need to happen. There's still stuff going on there. And, you know, this morning I was really touched again by this God's love, the love of Jesus for us, and what he wants to do in our lives, and how he just wants us that we can come to him and we can bring our questions and we can bring what's happening in our lives and do something about it and get together and pray with people. I realized how many things we do in isolation. How many great things that we do in isolation. How when we take breaks, we do it in isolation. And God is a God of community, of people, of groups. Where sometimes it will be easy just to include someone. And I was thinking, I know Pastor Sias, he always says that when you're in the presence of somebody that just decided to follow Jesus, man, there's excitement there, there's something happening. And he said, it's so good to remain around those people. I was in Woolworths, in Canal Walk, chatting to a guy about their tills, because I used to work on the till. So it's always nice to find out, just to catch up, what's happening and how they're enjoying the software and stuff. And so I asked him a few questions, and then he asked me a few things, and we started talking, and I was actually hoping to see him. He's William, it's his name. And we were just talking, and then I said, okay, William, so he eventually said, so what are you doing now? I said, no, now I'm working at the church, and this is something God has done in my life. And it was just amazing. We just talked. I said, come on Sunday. He said, yes, he's off. But I've got his number. I can follow him up. And I realized that often we're enjoying our things in isolation. We're coming here every Sunday, and it's amazing what God is doing. But we will do a lot of it in isolation. And there's an invitation. Just bring someone with. Just tag them along. But just getting back to these questions, all of us, we want our lives to work. We want things to work out. And it was Rick Rousseau that said, in America right now, one of the fastest growing jobs is one of a life coach. Because everyone just want to, they're asking all these questions. And they just want to know. They need help. And I realized, this morning in worship, I was just reminded again of times when we pray together for our own issues, of not only issues, questions, of just about life, or praying with other people. And our God just comes and he just breaks open something. And he brings a word and he brings a direction, something that one can run with. And I realize often where there's a waiting, it's difficult to move. I used to say, once we start moving, God can direct. Once we start moving, we can go in certain directions. Some will say, if you're not prepared to fail, it's hard to have success. It's hard just to start moving. Because often it's just that fear of failure, fear of doing something wrong. It just make me not to do anything. I remember my good friend, Pastor Rennie. He was interested in Rochelle. And it was the whole thing. She was waiting for Annie to make a move. And Annie was waiting for the Lord. And the Lord was waiting for Annie. That's what we call a deadlock. Everyone is waiting for everyone. Sometimes there's amazing things that God wants to do, and he wants to start a new journey, and we want to start a new thing in our lives, but we're just afraid. We're afraid to fail. We're afraid to move. We're afraid to step out. But for me, it's always a step of faith. I just want to read it from Paul in Philippians. Paul had all the credentials. He was really the man. He's done it all. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the best. He was a learned man. He had his qualifications. He's done all the courses. He's done everything he can do. He was passionate. He was really a purpose-driven young man. And had everything going for him. And the amazing thing is that then he had this encounter with Jesus in Acts 9. By the encounter of Jesus, and Jesus come and just flip his world around a bit. And how he just transferred that passion in a passion for God. And when we read in Philippians what Paul, when he writes, I'm just going to read verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. He said, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I'm circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. He said, man, I'm the man. I've got a lot of things that I can boast on. I've got my qualifications. I've got my good qualities. I've got everything. But whatever were gains to me now, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And he said, now that he's met Jesus, things changed. It's just a shift happening for him. And in verse 10, he said, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. He said, I want to know Christ. And then in verse 13, this beautiful, I said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what is behind. One thing that he's doing is forgetting what is behind. And not only is forgetting bad things and his struggles and everything, also his qualifications. Always he's the things that he can justify himself in. He's those great things. All his accomplishments. He's putting that aside. He left it behind. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Straining toward. I love that. It's just there's a pressing in, there's a straining. It's just not just saying that things are going to be easy, but I'm pushing forward for what's ahead. I'm pushing forward for something that there is available for me in Jesus. I'm prepared to leave behind the past, and through the years through my years of following Jesus, and I had amazing times, and I had times where I just messed up and experienced God coming and giving me second chances so many times. And I can stand here, I just know that God is faithful. God is faithful. And once we look at our lives and once we take all our abilities and all the things that we are good at and all our dreams and all our desires, and we add in there, Lord, I want to follow you with my life. I want to follow you and I want to honor you. And we put all of that in the pot and we mix it up. And we start moving. We say, Lord, I'm striving, I'm pressing in, I'm pressing forward to you, Lord. Then out of there, we're going to get clues for what are those things that God wants to do through our lives. What are those specific things that God wants us to do? What are those things that we can step in, that we can be the one that's saying, this is what I'm called to do? But it's really I believe it's a mind shift, or it's a decision, or it's taking up the invitation of Jesus that's walking with us. Because else we can just sit at one place and we just hope things are going to change. We're just going to hope things are going to be different. We're just going to hope things are going to be different the next day. But it's different when we say, look, I'm laying whatever is behind, I'm putting that behind me. Things of the past. And now I say, Lord, I'm straining forward. I want to honor you, God, through my life. And maybe we don't have those answers yet. For some of us, we just need to get between people that love us, maybe in small group, and we can talk to one another, and we can have conversation. And it's easy. It's easy to start, what are those things that God has placed in you that's really a blessing to the people around you, the people, or to me, or to anyone else? And sometimes we miss those things, and we get stuck. I really want to encourage you in that. Just to, already, if we don't know where to start, we just say, Lord, I want to honor you with my life. This is what, these are my abilities. This is what I'm good at. This is what I can bring. And then you start walking with that. And if we're even going to think about, if you're in that, think about just loving people. Then things are going to stir. Things are going to change. At the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is making a great comeback. And he really bringing everything together. And he says, he started out with meaningless. And right at the end, he said, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And that fear is really talking about a reverence and awe of God. The honoring of God. And keep his commandments. You know that what Jesus said, the most important commandment is love God and love people. Love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. For this is the duty of all mankind. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. And that's a good place where we can start and we can press on to really to honor God, really to love God, and through everything that we do, everything that's going on in our lives, and then to press on to see Christ. And I believe, well, I know there's a lot of things happening. Sometimes we think it must be on a big platform. Sometimes we think that that's where, if God is going to use me, it might be on this, I must just go on and I must look for the platform, I must look for the stage where everything is going to happen. But I know that God is already using us, especially the mothers, everyone that stood this morning, they're already being used by God in their homes to bring love, to do so much. That's already being used by God. That's already stepping into a purpose that God has put in place. And sometimes some of our life purposes and some of those things, it's right around us. We might be already busy with a part of it, but we're just not aware of it. And we're looking for on the big stages. But it can be anywhere. It can be anywhere where we give honor to God, where we're in awe of God and we love God, and where we love someone. I really want to encourage us. It can be small things where nobody knows about it. It can be things, you just walk past someone, and you just love on, someone said, love on them. You just love people. You just make a difference. And you are being used by God. And I know we will get to the big stuff. Absolutely. If we're searching for God, if we're pressing in towards the goal, God is going to come and he's going to show us more and more things of where he wants to use us. Where are those places where we will just excel? Or what are those gifts? Because some things are placed in you guys that I can't do. We had our Tall Trees leadership workshop. It was just amazing. Sometimes we talk about the trees and we talk this how they classify the temperaments or the personalities in different trees, a rose bush and a palm tree and a pine tree and a lollipop. And it's just all linked to different styles and different things that God has placed in us. And let me just put a disclaimer in there. Sometimes we say that we are a rose bush, or I am a rose bush, or I'm a palm tree. So what we're actually saying, we are, so you're giving an excuse for bad behavior. I can behave in this and this way, and I can be rude, so this is just who I am. And this is not an excuse. Or we will look at people and we say, yes, I expect them to behave like that, because they are a palm tree or a pine tree or a lollipop or whatever. And we're actually judging. And I just want us to stop. Yeah, just to stop that. Rather, what we must do is what are those things that person brings that I cannot do? What is he doing better than myself? What are those things that God has placed in him where I need him? Where we need one another to actually to bring honor to God, to bring glory to God. Because those are key things that we can see in one another, and we can really help one another on this journey of finding our life's purpose, of finding answers to difficult questions. Instead of just using these terms. And I know then it's such a blessing when you realize, wow, there's someone that's really good at these things. For me, it is a struggle. For me, it doesn't come natural. There's this person that's really good at it. I just quickly want to read something in John. Because there's this, I'm going to end with this. This guy Nathaniel coming to Jesus. Actually, he not came to Jesus. He was, because we hear these things often, and we talk about it, and you say, yes, I must press into Jesus, and well, let me just read. In John 1, verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said to him, follow me. And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And maybe you also wanted to add, we found this one that he might be the answer to our questions. He might be one that's going to clear things up for us. Because right now they may be confused. They're waiting for a Messiah, and he's saying, we found that one. Come. What does Nathanael say? Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? He refers to the town where Jesus is coming from. And Philip said, come and see. And for me, sometimes these days when we talk about following Jesus, when we talk about what we believe, some people say, man, are you crazy? Can anything good come from that? And they say, come. That's the questions that's going around. That's the things, the conversations. And Philip just said, come and see. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. I thought he's going to say, no, I'm not that great. I'm not like that. And he said, and Nathanael said, how do you know? How do you know that? Man, that's, I wouldn't have said that. Yet truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you. And then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So immediately he switched. Right there he switched. He was very skeptical. He thought, man, can anything good come from Nazareth? Who is this? And then he came and Jesus spoke a word and he just prayed. He said, whoa, I've been very wrong. And he had some kind of expectation. He didn't expect much. So it wasn't that difficult to impress him. Because his expectations were very low. And Jesus said that and he said, wow. So Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And then Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things like that. Your expectations were so low. You believe, I said that, and that made this massive shift. That made you to believe. And he said, I am much more than that. And then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And Jesus is referring back to Jacob when he was asleep and he had the ladder and the dream, the angels coming up and down. And some of the commentaries, they say the angels, it's also referring to the presence of God. But also a connection. Jesus is actually putting something out there, saying there's a connection where heaven and earth is going to come together. And Jesus is actually pointing to himself. That's who I am. I'm going to let heaven and earth come together. And you're going to see much, much more what you can ever imagine or dream of. So are your expectations so low? Was it so easy to change your mind? And I realize that even for us, I don't know what's our expectations and how we talk these days and what do we say, what do we think? We say, I follow Jesus, I come here on a Sunday morning. But what's your expectation? Is it just, I'm not sure, I'm just going through the motions. And maybe it will be okay. Or are we still believing that through Jesus we're going to see heaven and earth coming together? We're going to experience the presence of God right here on earth. We're going to see amazing things. So that's the invitation. That is there. That's what's available for us. And even when we look at what God has put inside of us, and we're talking about life purpose and what am I here for, in this pressing on, in this straining towards, like Paul said, straining towards to see God, see Jesus, to experience His power. Are we really expecting to see Jesus? Are we really expecting the big things to happen? And that's my invitation. That's even when we invite people to come with us, when we talk to people at work or wherever, when we invite people to church, to small group, what's our expectation? Because the expectations of people out there is not very high. It's not very high. I told you before, when I did the Lee Group Business School, they said to us, for companies today to impress their customers, they just need to do the basics right. Because nobody's doing it anymore. You just give the extra phone call, the email. You just do what you're supposed to do. You will impress people because they don't expect much. You answer an email. They reckon in those days the people would like to have a reply on an email in 6 hours. That was amazing. So get it in 6 hours. So if you can be in 3 hours, they'll think you are the best. And I realize that sometimes our expectation of what Jesus is doing, our expectations is just dropping. And we don't come with those. We come to Jesus like Nathaniel, very skeptical. So I'm going through the motions, and this is what's going in my life, and I must fight it out, and I need to battle it out. He's saying, is that it? Is that it? I will be the one that bring heaven and earth together. And we're going to see that, and we're already seeing it. And let's stand. Philippians, Paul was, he was pressing in towards to see Jesus, to experience his power. Right now, we are pressing into certain things. We are pressing into or leaning in towards things that keeps us busy every day. Some things that we believe we need to do these things. We need to make this happen. And there's a lot of things that, that we're trying in our own strength. What if Paul is coming? What if Philip walks by today and he says, "Come with me. I want to show this man from Nazareth. And he's the one that told me everything I know about parenting. Come with me, this guy. He told me everything about engineering. Come with me. There's this guy that people spoke about that done the healings. This is him. Come with me. Come with me, this one that told me everything I know about relationships. Come with me." And we're walking, whatever our questions are, whatever, come with me, this one that gave me direction in life. It gave me a purpose. Come with me. Some of our expectations are low. So, and then you say, can anything good come from that? And in the meantime, we're just pressing in stuff day to day to day. We're leaning in towards stuff. We're putting so much energy in stuff. Sometimes it's just the wrong things. We're not going anywhere. We need a word from God. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I'm coming before you, Lord, and everyone here, and I say thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing life. Thank you that we can experience life here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for where there's confusion. Some of us are just battling through day by day. Help us, Lord. Help us to press into you, Lord. Help us to lean towards you. Not to give up. Help us to endure, Lord. Help us to see what you are doing right now, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge you this morning, Lord, as the one that's got the answers, Lord. It's the one that knows everything, the one that saves. We acknowledge you, Lord, as the one that brings breakthroughs, that brings promotion, as the healer, as our Savior, as our God, as our King. Lord, I pray that you will move us beyond where we just come to you when there's a problem, but to a place where we surrender before you, God. Where we surrender our lives before you because you are God. Where we move from a place where we want to live our lives and just ask you for help along the way, to a place where we surrender and allow your word to be that light on our path. In Jesus' name. Lord, you know the questions we have. You know the questions that everyone here has this morning. I pray that you will help them to find the answers in Jesus' name. We pray for your wisdom, God. In the detail of every day. We acknowledge you, Lord. You are the one, Lord. You are the Almighty God. Maybe for some, you just need to bring those questions to God, things that you batting with while your listener's playing you. Or you must make a note of those questions and bring it to your small group, or bring it to where you gather with people you trust, and start praying through those things. And take time and press in and leaning towards. Maybe for some of us it's a time where we need to look at what are we pressing in at the moment. What are the things that keep us busy and what is occupying all our time and our energy? And we just need to surrender that also to God. And then ask God to get us moving in the right direction. Not being afraid of failure, but just to move in faith. I just want you to just acknowledge God's work in your life. And maybe this morning you want to pray with me or someone else. Take that first step. Take that opportunity. Let us pray together. Because there's something of God in each one of us. We are made.